get me a nice baked ham and maybe some mac and cheese and maybe some mac and peas. You can look me in my eyes, telling that I want some fries, but you know that ain't no lie. Can I give me some bonafide chicken? Cause you know that's my fingers, I'ma be licking and don't give me no steak and cheese. That's my mother like pee. I never tasted a potato, but I like an enchilada. Don't give me a cup of pie, it's always dry. The food and service is what I expect. And if I put my money down, it better be the best.
Shout out Winta, shout out Fig.
Good afternoon. You're listening to WTUL New Orleans 91.5 FM. This is From the Ashes with DJ Phoenix. Great to be with you all on this Thursday afternoon. Got to start off the hour by reading the event calendar for tonight. But first, special thanks to DJ Shushu, as always, for a great 2 hours. So here we go. 7 o'clock at Circle Bar. It's Dark Lounge featuring Rick Slave. 7 o'clock at House of Blues. It's the Steel Woods. 8 o'clock at Tipitina's, it's Hellcat Entertainment presents Simafunk. 8 o'clock at Circle Bar, it's Anti-Gravity Office Hours, 8 to 11. 9:30 at Gaza Gaza, it's Grayson Word and Zaharia Rims, that is an R&B show. And 10 o'clock at One-Eyed Jack's, it's Fast Times, best of the 80s and 90s. I'll be with you here for the next 2 hours, and to start off our show today, actually have a very special treat. I'm here joined by four of the five members of the Monkey Power Trio. They are going to be in the studio, and I'm really excited to hear what they have to say. It's definitely a unique way of creating their music, so talking to the mic there, make sure it's working real quick.
Hello.
All right, so I'm going to start off, each of you introduce yourselves and say where you're from, and hint, hint, it's not all going to be from the same place, guys.
Hi, I'm Matt, and I'm coming here from Brooklyn.
I'm Mark, I'm from outside Detroit in a town called Ypsilanti, Michigan.
Dave, Portland, Oregon.
Dan Richardson, I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
So yeah, guys, as you all heard, not all coming from the same place. So could somebody or any of you sort of tell our listeners who aren't familiar what is sort of the premise of your group, what it is you do, and why you do it, and how does it work?
Yeah, so we've been recording, we're recording this week or tomorrow in New Orleans. This will be our 25th session. We record one day a year in a different place, and we all meet from our different places around the country. We started in Brooklyn 25 years ago, and we recorded our first single there. And I think you probably have some vinyl. Maybe we'll, if we're lucky, we can listen to a little of that later or something. But yeah, we're old friends from high school, most of us from college. We used to be in a band called Prehensile Monkey-Tailed Skink. A lot of us, or three of the people sitting here in the room today, back in Ann Arbor, Michigan on Bulb Records, back when we were in college or after college in the early 90s. And we moved our way, and each went our different ways, and then decided for the rest of our lives we'd get together one day a year and cut a new single. And we've been doing it. Like I said, this is the 25th year. Yeah, Matt.
Oh, I think you summed everything up.
I'll say that the part of the project that continues on is that we have made a pact to do this each year until the last guy alive finishes the project by completing a solo album. So, which was a funny idea when we were in our 20s, but now that we're in our 50s, like, hey, one of the guys isn't here today because he's sick, and it's starting to become more of a serious prospect as we move on.
Yeah, we also get less clever as the years go on, so the ideas don't come as freely. I think in the first records there was a lot of like chaotic kind of energy, and then now it's more introspection kind of stuff, like I quieter and maybe not as clever. I don't know, maybe that's
because we're panicking because time's running out for us.
We're panicking.
So is Detroit where you all are originally from, or around there?
No, so three of us here went to high school in New Jersey together.
Okay.
And then I started going to the University of Michigan. I dropped out of college for a while to be an archaeologist, and then when I went back, I went to U of M, the University of Michigan. And then these two guys both graduated from college and moved there to join me, and we started a band there. And then we were super successful as a band. Prehensile Monkey-Tailed Skink was a you should look it up. It's a really powerful band. So then we just kind of, like I said, we went our different ways. We all went and got jobs after college, and just decided that we needed to. Last year we sat down and did an oral history of the band, and we did, the three of us that were there at the very beginning, started talking about kind of recreating how it was that we came to make this decision. And trying to piece it together after 25 years is a little difficult, but I think what we realized was that Matt knows this better than I do, but I think we figured out that we knew before we had our first session that we were going to do this.
Yeah, we couldn't remember this, but actually Mark published a whole article about the first session in his zine, Crime Wave USA, which we spent like several months trying to figure things out using our memories, and then I found this old article that explains everything. We happened to all be together in the summer of 1995 because a friend of ours was getting married, and Mark was visiting out east. So at some point we decided that we'd get together and record just for an afternoon. And beforehand, the article said, because I don't remember this, that Dan came up with the idea that we would do it every year for the rest of our lives. So that's how it...
And we've kept to it.
We've kept to it, yeah.
That first record was recorded in the basement of a Brooklyn apartment building with a boombox, a guitar. I think, Matt, you had your saxophone, and Mark basically yelled and hit on the poles that held the basement up. And
yeah, there was like a cement mixer down there in a sink, I think, and just beat on
it
stuff.
It was a pile of garbage.
Yeah, we just beat on stuff and yelled. And I don't know if you have the first record, but did you? I'll show you where it is, maybe. All right.
So let me ask you guys about the process. So do you guys, What I understood from everything I've heard so far is that you guys don't prepare any of the music that you write in this one album a year thing. So you guys just, when you meet, you get your studio time, you go in, and then it's just, you figure it out in that one session of, I don't know how many hours it is, but...
Yeah, they've gotten a little longer, I think, in recent years, but they're always within a 24-hour period. Like, we don't go beyond that. And there's no pre-writing. No one comes with ideas. No one practices, I don't think, at all during the year, their instruments. So, I mean, we don't come with ideas. And we just kind of, I mean, the way I look at it is, like, you consume culture for an entire year, and then we come here and just vomit out whatever's in our heads. It's just a cathartic kind of like...
Vomited out musically.
Musical vomit. Is somebody... can we say pissing or not? That's a bad word. All right, the idea is just that it's just whatever comes top of mind. It's just whatever whatever pops into our heads, and that's what we sing about, so... It's hard to say. I have no idea what the... I suspect this one might be a little more darker and introspective than others because of the fact that, like I said, one of us is gone for the first time. So Mike joined us our second year, and he's the guy that's gone now. He's dealing with some health issues and legal troubles and a number of issues. But then Dave joined us third year, so this will be his 23rd year. We've all... pretty much been with each other since the start, so it's kind of sad to see one of us not here for the first time in 23 years.
Dave joined us the fifth year.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Matt is our historian.
I try to be a fact checker.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys feel about this, but when I was reading about you guys, I was so happy to see, you know, this is the way you do things, because they're several prominent music YouTubers I watch, who Rob Scallon, Andrew Huang, who they do this same thing. They meet once a year and create a whole album from scratch. And so I don't know. I'm not sure if they took inspiration, if they even know of you guys. But the fact that this is a thing that younger kids are doing, and you guys are like kind of paving the way. What do you think about that?
Do they put this out on records and release it?
They get it mixed, mastered, and then it's out on iTunes, Spotify, everything. Huh. Do this once a year, and they film the whole thing and like make a little documentary of it on YouTube once a year.
We keep talking about making documentary, and we've never done it.
I think it's more of same idea at a different time rather than anyone inspiring anyone else.
It is worth noting though that we were first.
For sure.
Put the copyright on it. We put it out on vinyl.
Yeah. I'd never heard of this because it's on YouTube, and I only use YouTube to watch old reruns of What's My Line and other features. So I never heard of these other people, but...
Does the project have a name? You mentioned the people by name. Do they call their band something?
Or? Yeah, they call it the 1st of October, because that's the day they meet every year.
And how long have they been doing
it? Oh, it's my birthday. How nice of them to honor me.
There you go. Inspired by you and honoring you.
So how many years have they done it?
They've only done it for 2 years now. They're a bit behind.
We'll see when they're 50.
They're a bit behind, yeah. So what would you guys, and you did mention that it changes sort of year to year, but if you had to very loosely put your music into like a genre category, how would you describe it? We'll be listening to some later on the show, but for people who aren't familiar.
It's rock, right? It's messy.
Crap rock.
Yeah, we have used the term crap rock before.
Yeah, I don't know if it's, you would say it's visionary. I think visionary is probably the word that people use the most. Like other DJs, when polled, other DJs around the country have said visionary.
You mean like visionary and like visionary art, which means like amateurs and
that is what I meant.
Folk artists, yeah.
That is what I meant. Yeah, like folk art.
Like crazy people.
Mm-hmm. Because we're not, with the exception of Dave, we're not musicians. Matt played horn in high school and stuff. Matt was in marching band, and Dan and I never really did anything until we were in bands, I don't think. And then Dave, who's here, the fourth member of the band, the guy that joined 5 years after we started, he's a professional musician, and that's kind of how he joined. I think he felt sorry for us.
and thought it was funny. Yeah. But now he's stuck.
Yeah.
I made the pledge, and here we are.
So what types of things are you still involved in? And if you're If you were a professional musician then, assuming you still are, one always is, what do you still, what sort of things are you involved in?
I just play in Portland recently with Trad Jazz.
Oh, wow.
Trio. So
that's very cool.
Yeah, he's he's a jazz bass player. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't play bass for us. He plays drums for us. Mm-hmm. So just to level the playing field a bit.
A bit.
Yeah. So I got to ask, is this the first time you've done your recording in New Orleans?
Yes.
So I don't know if any of you have ever been here before, just in the past, but what do you guys think about the city so far?
It's beautiful and tasty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two great adjectives describe it.
Uh-huh.
We're all looking forward to putting on lots of weight.
Yeah. I just got here last night and just walking around today. I love it.
It's really
looking
great.
At the school as I walked in here and trying to talk my daughter into going here. So I have excuse to visit.
Yeah, funny enough, that's exactly what my dad said when I was in high school.
Are you from around here?
I'm not. I'm from Maryland originally. I just came down here when I started school, but I love it. Music's huge here. You guys, I don't know if any of you've been to any of the venues like Tipitina's, anything like that in any of your times here, but there's always places playing. We have a whole calendar, like right at the top of the show, just of stuff that's going on here. I mean, lots of locals, college students. I play around, so it's a great city for music. And cool. So if this is your first time in New Orleans, where else have you guys recorded various spots in your 25 years? Now, you mentioned Brooklyn was the first place.
Yeah, the most recent record that just came out was in the suburbs of Atlanta. So one of the nice things about the band or being in the band now for so long is that we have not a lot of fans, but like there are people that not feel sorry for us. Again, that's a recurring theme, but like will let us use their places to record. So we started by going into studios, and lately we've just been going to people's houses that we know. So a lot of it is Dave's girlfriend's mother had a house that she wasn't using on the beach on the West Coast. So we went there last year to Manzanita outside of Portland. But it's like, I think once he had a ski buddy who had a cabin we went to and stayed once. Like, it's a lot of those kind of things. Like, my parents retired to Savannah and they had a house there and they weren't using it for a weekend, so we went there. This is an Airbnb. Lately, it's been Airbnb stuff that's just cheap. So we have a house.
An Airbnb in Cleveland.
Yeah, we did Cleveland. Yeah, we did the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We were thinking about doing something in the Rock. I wanted to record in the bathroom of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, like to do that
a
session.
That was a good idea.
But we never did it. We have a lot of ideas that we never do. We had a radio station in California that I was talking to you about the possibility of us just doing a 24-hour live through our session live on the radio. Thanksgiving because they didn't have DJs that wanted to work that day.
Yeah.
So like there are a bunch of ideas. I've also talked to an art gallery in Massachusetts about us doing a show or doing something in a gallery. I don't know if any of this stuff would ever work, but we've exchanged emails. But like we're open to ideas as long as it fits within the parameters of the 24 hours and one day thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think being in public would be good for us, but but it's just an interesting idea to think about.
Yeah, we did record a couple records in studios where other people had to listen to the process of us writing those songs, and it made a lot of us really nervous in the band and like kind of quashed our creativity. So being able to record on computer in a living room somewhere has been our mode over the last couple of years and works pretty well for us.
We have a record called Flying Through Glass. And the reason it was called Flying Through Glass is that we were trying to record, and this guy was on the other side of the glass, an engineer, and I saw him check his phone or check his time or something. He just made me so angry. And, like, I just hated him because he didn't appreciate our artwork. And I just I was just fuming over that when I was drawing the artwork for the cover and called it Flying Through Glass because I wanted to hit him in the face.
So do you guys record this album around the same time every year? Is it sort of whenever any of you have a free weekend or...?
Dan is a school teacher, so he pretty much dictates our
schedule.
Not this year. But.
Oh, I'm supposed to be at work today. Whenever we can. It gets harder with
busy work schedules and family. The sure. older we get, the harder it gets, but we really try to make it a something that happens every year.
But it's usually, lately it's been September, October, right? Or like October-ish, November.
Yeah. You know, when it's November, we've pushed it as far as possible this year, and it's getting down to the wire, and we're like, we've got to do this, 2019.
For sure. Yeah. So let's, what's the favorite place each of you can say, or if you have a consensus, that favorite spot that you've done this so far?
I'd have to think.
Come back to Matt.
For me, it depends on the songs. Like the better song, the better I like the place.
So what do you consider the better songs, Dave?
Yeah, what's a good song?
Like one of our songs that actually I like.
One of our songs that you actually like. Yes.
Baltimore.
Oh, Baltimore was fun.
Song about crabs, and like that song was really fun and, you know, successful.
It's not even released yet.
Right.
Yeah, it's not out on a record yet, so don't.
So that makes me like Baltimore.
Yeah, it seems like every session we have something that's like of that town, and I'm sure like usually the day before we'll spend some time sightseeing and kind of just filling ourselves with like local stuff, like talking to local people and then like hanging out at bars and stuff, and then somehow that works its way into the material. Because I know in Cleveland we had a song about Cleveland.
Yep.
We have a song about Savannah when we're in Savannah. Like it just always finds a way into it.
In Baltimore.
Yeah. So your favorite session, Dan?
New Orleans.
We haven't even New Orleans. Yet. This could be like the worst session ever.
I like the place.
Yeah. Like so far we've been pretty lucky. There's only been one year when I think a lot of us got the flu. In Atlanta, so that was one of the worst sessions.
Songs were okay.
The songs turned out really, really well, though. So in retrospect, maybe we should get the flu more often.
Sure.
Because we recorded after that. My favorite session. It's more about, at this point, it's less about the music, as you can hear from the records, than about the hang out with friends and having an excuse to leave our lives and go do something like interesting. And I think maybe you'll appreciate this when you get older, because you're like 14, I think you were saying. So like, but like the older you get, the harder it is to have those kind of moments and to just keep like creativity in your life and to keep having a reason to create and to share stuff with people. So I think that's I think that's more important than the output. So Matt, did you decide your favorite?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention it was fun when we recorded in Jackson Hole. One of our old roommates lives out there, and then we got to see the national parks, and then we recorded in somebody had a studio made out of a farm silo. So we had like this whole like circular building to record in. Just us. So that was good. That was, I think, the most interesting places and recording locale.
Yeah, we should probably do a better job. Since there are five of us, we should probably do a better job of like finding interesting, like rich friends that have places like that. Like this was a woman who,
rich friends.
I think she had married into the family that owned Bayer Aspirin.
Oh, wow.
And then so she had this big place, and they had a son who liked playing bass guitar, so they built him his own studio. And this friend of ours knew them and hooked
us
up with them. He gave lessons to this guy. So we need more situations like that. I think more rich friends is probably on our list of things to do.
Mm-hmm. See, so based on your comments a minute ago on naming songs after things here, I should expect this latest record, the one coming out, the one you're making tomorrow, to have a song called Beignets, right?
I haven't had one yet.
I don't know. We need to.
I would recommend. I would definitely recommend.
Café du Monde.
Café du Monde is great. Get that and get a po'boy somewhere and you're set.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's a song right there.
Last time I was here, I think I ate like 30 po'boys. And I have I was here with some friends that are a chef and another friend. And I ate at a lot of places like Parkway and R&O and Melba's and Mother's, and just keep going down the list. And I'm curious to know what your thoughts are on the best po' boy in town.
Wow.
Spot.
On the spot. You know, it was actually very good. About a month and a half ago, up at City Park, up by the lake, they had Po' Boy Fest, which is an first thing you should know about New Orleans, there's more festivals than there are days of the year, which is, it's a true thing, which is amazing. So they had po' boys. I had like probably from like 8 or 9 different vendors, and I couldn't tell you what the names were, but they were all just awesome. My personal favorite type of po' boy, I like the ones with shrimp in them, but that's just me. I don't know. My mom's actually allergic to seafood, so she like can't eat anything down here, which is why. Yeah. So she's kind of bummed. My dad's like, yep, I'll go visit him, which is great. But I could not give you an answer for my favorite po' boy, honest to God. They're all good. I've yet to have a bad one, so I've yet to have a bad beignet. I've had bad beignets in other states, not here.
They don't know.
I always have to try them whenever I see them in Maryland just to see, like, oh, is it as good? They're not.
No. Like bagels outside of New York.
Sure.
Not good.
I can imagine. So speaking of instruments, so what instruments do you guys all play in the band?
This is Matt. I play saxophone, I play recorders, and I play crumb horns.
Which you might have to describe.
Crumb horns are a medieval instrument, kind of like a precursor to the oboe with a double reed. Cool. They produce like a buzzing sound. And then I put all those through effects pedals, so sometimes they don't sound like woodwinds anymore, but that's how I do it.
I talk through a megaphone and yell and stuff. I don't really play. I did play guitar on some early sessions, but no one's asked me to play guitar again.
Then we took it away from you.
Yeah, so that didn't work out so well, that experiment. I think there are some like really noisy first records where I think I did really good. I played harmonica once.
Yeah.
But that's my contribution.
Very good.
I play drums and some trumpet and trombone sometimes, and a talk box stylophone.
And bass once in a while. I play guitar mostly, and sometimes harmonica. Yeah, mostly. And Dave does a lot of background vocals too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mike, who's not here, plays like a heavy metal kind of guitar, an Ibanez guitar, and he raps. So we're without our resident rapper this year.
Right. Yes.
But it's unfortunate.
It's not a great loss. what was I going to say? I was just going to point out that Mark does most of the vocals since he doesn't play an instrument, but if anybody comes up with something that they want to do lead vocals on, they do it. Mark does most of the vocals, but we've all done different songs over the years where other people have done the lead.
I think most people say that the most magical ones are the ones that I sing.
Visionary
and magical.
Tragical.
Yeah, so who's the engineer among the five of you?
This is why Dave was asked to be in the band. He knows how to play instruments, but he also understands how to record through a microphone, which we couldn't figure out. So, like I said, he felt sorry for us, so he
plugged
in
the mics. Those first couple of years, I was like, yeah.
I mean, the first one was on a boombox, which we had to then transfer to digital audio tape to make vinyl. So, like, we didn't know what we were doing engineering-wise. Mm-hmm. Didn't really care. But Dave stepped in.
The whole arc of this whole thing is like, I saw the raw material for a really, truly horrible band. So, from the beginning of just these guys recording on a boombox, I'm trying to take us on this, like, journey, that we're 20 years in, probably got another 20, 30 years to go, where we're going to be a super slick, we'll know how to produce and play and everything.
We'll get better playing one day a year. We won't get better. Like, this is the 25th year, but it's the 25th day.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
It goes a little faster, but I think, either way, it's a challenge to make us, like, the world's shittiest band in 60 years.
You got beat.
Sorry.
That's why we have the cough button.
To drive this point home, yesterday Dave made us watch a documentary on how Steely Dan records. I think that's what he's heading.
That'll sink in.
we're going to become the Steely Dan of crap rock.
Yeah.
Well, we self-recorded from the beginning. The first session was on just a boombox cassette, and then the next three we were using Mike's four-track.
Oh, that's right.
But I think we only used two tracks of the four track.
Because that's all we knew how to do.
Yeah, so that was 96, 97, 98. And then 99 was the first one with Dave. We were in that. We were in a rehearsal space in Manhattan. I forget how we recorded that one. And then I think it was after that was a few years where we played in recording studios where somebody just set it up and let it that was like I think Ann Arbor in 2000.
Oh, the really stinky place in Austin. In
that Austin was 2001, yeah. Oh, and there was a guy, we recorded in Athens one year, remember?
Yeah, with the guy who's in the pylon.
Jason Nesmith.
Jason taped this once, recorded this once in his garage.
He's in the pylon? What?
It's the reconstruct.
Oh, he's in that? I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't realize that. Okay. And then at some point, we got to the point where we could record ourselves on a computer. So we used to record everything spontaneously. Just we'd start the tape going and just record. Now we record separate tracks and we can go back and make corrections and stuff. So
yeah, we used to record the full 24 hours, but then we realized someone had to go back and listen to it all.
Which is painful.
Yeah, which is really horrible. So yeah, now we can just, you know, come away with a session with the absolute best 6 minutes.
Sure.
And not worry about the rest.
Yeah, I gotta be honest with you guys. My generation has it a lot easier when it comes to this whole recording thing. I don't even know what half the processes you guys just said were.
Right.
For me,
what's a four track?
Yeah, for my generation, it's just you plug in an interface to my computer and you just plug it into your guitar and there you go. Mm-hmm. And that's it. GarageBand. I use Logic now, which is the like the upgraded version of GarageBand,
mm-hmm.
The Apple like Pro software. But
and
yeah,
you can edit and delete.
I can edit and I bring in like pre-made drum loops. Like it's awesome.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you guys definitely learned it the hard way. It sounds like
It was easy for us. We just brought Dave in the band. Yeah. We didn't learn any. We didn't learn.
Oh yeah,
anything.
Dave learned the hard way. I should say.
There's going to be a significant drop in sound quality if Dave goes before the rest of us. But
we're going to have to figure something out.
He's the youngest, so hopefully that won't happen.
We try to game out, not game out, but we try to like anticipate who we can lose first and like how important people are to the band. And I think in every scenario, like Dave makes it to the end. It's like a game like Survivor where you like we have to keep Dave till the end. Like he can't, no one can vote Dave off or he can't die before the end. So we all have to protect Dave. So, yeah. So if he needs a kidney or something, we have to.
Feeling?
Who's going
to
be the soloist?
Yeah. You know, and will the soloist follow through? Will they actually like
stay tuned
go
to find out?
Create the vinyl and put it. It's a lot of work and nobody likes doing it.
It depends on how old we get. Like if we get to like, if two of us get to 98, then it's possible that one of us doesn't. But if everyone dies next year, except for me, yeah, I'll do one more.
Good to know.
I would be happy because if we get to that situation, you have to do one more and then we can finally stop. Or I'd be doing my one. I'd be happy to do it and then quit.
Done.
Would you rather be one of the people who dies?
There's good points and bad points about each position.
Oh man.
I got
very dark in a hurry. All right, it is the half hour, so I need to read you all the PSA for the half hour, which is brought to you by WTUL New Orleans. You may have been a victim of mortgage modification or foreclosure scam. If you are asked to pay a fee for your modification, sign over the title to your property, redirect mortgage payments, stop making payments, sign documents with blank spaces, or stop talking to your lender. More information about how you can protect your home from mortgage scammers is available from the Fair Housing Action Center at 877-445-2100. That's just a one big long sentence right there, and I have to read it every week. If you guys are just tuning in with us, I'm here with Monkey Power Trio, and they're a very interesting group. If you guys haven't listened from the start, this is their 25th day ever existing as a band, though they've been around for 25 years. They record one day a year in a different city every time, and we're lucky that they've chosen New Orleans this year. You mentioned something a few minutes ago, and I think I know the answer, but I got to follow up. You mentioned you recorded in Athens. I'm assuming you meant Athens, Georgia.
Yes.
But,
yeah.
I don't know.
Not Greece.
Not Greece. I don't know. Has the thought of ever recording overseas ever come up?
Yeah. I keep trying to get us to record at an all-inclusive resort in Mexico.
That's the dumbest idea that only Dave likes, but yeah. That's not really overseas.
I think the Japanese would like us.
Yeah.
So that might be true.
I think that we could probably get like some sort of like some sort of federal funding to go over and do some sort of like outreach, like some sort of like
we've said like
National Arts Alliance or something.
To characterize our fan base, I've heard us say like, "Oh, there's one guy in Japan who likes the band," right? Is that just a metaphor?
That's a metaphor.
Or is it real?
Yeah. There's one guy in Scotland and one guy in California who are actual fans.
Okay, so we might have zero fans in Japan.
Right.
Okay.
We got to go make them.
Yeah.
No, but I think our earlier band, Prehensile Monkey-Tailed Skink, I think sold a lot. I think it was one of the highest selling records in Japan for years.
It was probably the highest selling Bulb record in Japan on Bulb Records. Not charting, but yeah, I think
there's the time thing is tricky there now
for sure.
That we're old and have jobs.
Plus,
I don't think we should record halfway around the world because we'd have to take jet lag into consideration. Because when you go around to that side, like 12 hours off your normal time, then you have to wait like a few days before you get over that. Otherwise, you're just like falling asleep. We would be like in the middle of the session, and we wouldn't be in sync on times when we fall asleep either. We'd just all be like dropping off at random, so we'd have to like stay at least a week to get the jet lag out.
Make a whole vacation out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be quite the experience.
Do you want to actually let people listen to what we sound like?
I would be thrilled. I have your website pulled up. So on the website here, it has all of your albums and a link here. I don't know which year, 2004?
95.
95, one above it.
Right to the very beginning?
All the way back.
The very first song on the first record.
Is it clean? Just making sure.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to plug in, make sure the volume is up on the Mac here.
Yeah, this will... If we play this one and then we play something from the last record, you'll get an idea of our evolution as a band. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, this is Baby Eyes, first track of the first album. Let's give it a listen. That was Baby Eyes, the first song off the first record from Monkey Power Trio.
It's also one of our worst songs, I think. But that's at listening to it, I haven't heard that since we were in my backyard in Michigan about 15 years ago.
Yeah,
or about 10 years ago, we listened to some of the old stuff again. But I'm reminded of how much I dislike that one. Thank you for playing that.
Sure. I was going to ask, and I asked once over while we were listening off the air. Yeah, like how often do you guys go back and ever listen to any of the old stuff you've recorded? I mean, yeah, for you, you said it was 15 years.
I rarely go back and listen. It seems that most of the listening of old stuff takes place when we get together for a new session. And it's usually our absent member, Mike, who always wants to play and listen to all the old songs over and over and over again. So I usually get enough of them in a yearly dose.
Mechanical song.
Yeah, that's 10%.
Also, the time thing, like a lot of my time on listening to this stuff ends up being the whatever we have to put out next. And we always have a few extra songs that we're deciding which one should go on. So listening to the stuff that's not released yet ends up taking a lot of time.
One thing that we didn't say is we had a little brush with fame when we were early on. Fox News... Our Fox Sports used one of our songs for a national ad campaign for a year. And so I don't know if we were popular back then, but I think people, at least I think culturally, we have had our moments where we kind of...
It was a total fluke that a friend worked at an ad agency and played our song for his hungover boss, who then decided, wow, that's so bad, we should use it on a... Let's pitch it, and it worked for an ad campaign, and we got some money, which helped us actually create the website and go to a studio. That's why we finally went into a studio, because we had some money. The money's long gone. But
which song was this? Now I'm curious.
That was "You Gotta Have Hope." That's our biggest hit.
You gotta have hope if you want to listen.
Which album is that on? We'll finish up with that one.
1998.
All right, we'll finish up with that one. Now this next song is called "Mechanical Sun." This was 10 years after the original album, so let's see the evolution.
Fiery ends, we'll never leave.
I said, I'm sure that a lot of your heavy metal fans that are used to tuning in for your show are really appreciating this.
Yeah, we got a, what I've told is a bit of a hard rock one next, but yeah, people will call in when I play like a Black Sabbath song or something. They're like, hey, I'm not used to hearing this on here. It's yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, we here at WTUL, we're all about, you know, playing the stuff that we have in the stacks here, shining some light on underground artists, but yeah, I do love to throw it back every now and then. This one's from 2001, the album Future Past Present, called Black, is it Fulton?
Yep.
Black Fulton. And I'm told it's a bit more of a rock one, so let's see.
I can't remember that.
This one is from 2016, correct?
That's right. Just released, but it's taken us 3 years to get it out.
Mm-hmm. So you choose name.
Maybe we can do When I Was a Baby on side A, song one.
Yeah, this one was recorded in Atlanta in the suburbs in Cumming, Georgia.
Can we say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the name of a place, you can say.
Okay.
And the album's called You Can Do Anything the Universe Wants You to Do.
All right. Let's see how this goes. My vinyl skills are not as good as you guys, my generation. But you guys heard it right there. This is off the latest record.
Just a tiny, tiny baby boy stole my daddy's car. I was running wild to the ugly city to find me a baby.
I'll be back to my lady baby. I'll be back to
my lady baby. I've been bad to my lady baby.
My lady baby. She gave me scabies. She can call me maybe.
She can call me maybe.
I've been bad to my lady baby. My lady baby, lady baby.
Lady baby.
Latest record from Monkey Power Trio, recording the new one tomorrow in here in New Orleans. I did get a request over the break. If anybody happens to have a trombone they can borrow, give me a call here at the station. I'll find a way to put you guys in touch. 504-865-5885 after turn off the air. Guys, thank you so much for coming. If anyone has anything they'd like to say, closing statements, in a sense.
No, we really appreciate everything you've done for us today. It's changed our lives.
And yeah, thanks for having us. It's been really fun.
If you guys missed any of the intro, this is Monkey Power Trio, one day a year band. Record, meet in different city every year, and the goal is to do it for the rest of their lives, which is just so cool. So
I thought you were going to say, which is so close.
So close. Yeah, close. Yeah,
which is so close. It's so close.
Different words starting to see there. Yeah. If you want, you can catch all of this interview. It'll be up online on WTUL's website. And if you have any requests for what to hear for their songs, their website is monkeypowertrio.com. All the albums are there up through 2016 with two, soon to be three more to be released. All right, gentlemen, thank you guys again much for coming.
Thank you.
And we're going to get the next hour and some of some Merits here at the station and some more classic rock and things of that variety. So let's get into it.
A fist in the throat is what you get when you mix it up with a downtown chick.
Quick, quick, quick. Light up my candles. Fail. Give me another coffin nail.
You're listening to From the Ashes with DJ Phoenix. Great to be with you on this Thursday afternoon. If you were here in any of the first 50 minutes or so, I had the privilege of having the Monkey Power Trio here. They're a group from all around the country. They meet one day a year to record whatever they can in 24 hours and release it. It's very cool stuff. You can catch my interview with them if you look up the archives of the recordings online. I have the promo for the hour here. Every Friday evening at 8:00.